Well, welcome back to our study of Numbers. We're going to begin this evening with chapter 10 of Numbers. And this chapter tells us of the silver trumpets and their use, of Israel's departure from Sinai, and the order in which they marched. So if we look at the first couple of verses, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps."
Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this, because there's doctrines out there, and people are getting duped in things, and I want you to look at it from the scriptural perspective, not from tradition, not from these doctrines of men. And I want you need to understand how I say this, okay? Just because a person is born a Jew doesn't mean they're an authority on the Bible. And people have gone off at a deep end with these things and using, modern day Hebrew language and trying to interpret the Bible from the perspective of a person who has not been born again. Now, we ought to be smarter than that, okay? And so when we look at this, he said, make two silver trumpets. Now, if you look up the word silver, it's talking about silver, okay? And there's actually went in looking at this afternoon, and I found just scanning, I found three different words used for trumpet. Just the word trumpet, not cornet, okay, but just trumpet. How many of you have ever heard of a shofar? Okay, how many of you know what a shofar is? Okay, but here's the thing. Ram's horn, you hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's generally equated to the shofar, right? It's only used one time in the Bible, and it's not even the word shofar. It's shofar. And yet people make a doctrine out of these things. I don't want them to take my word for it, McKaylee. I want you to pull up the word, type in the phrase in the concordance, ram's horn. And I want you to see this with your own eyes, okay? You can look this up in your Strong's Concordance, or whatever. And so, what is the word?
Joshua 6:5.
You pull up the interlinear.
Yeah. Yobel.
Huh?
Yobel.
Yes. Okay, this particular one is a Kayan. And you have Kayan, you have Yabal, and you have Shofar. And you find that Shofar is used a lot as we go through this. But when you look the word up, it's just simply talking about trumpets. It's not talking about ram's horn. It's talking about trumpets. It's referring to these trumpets. Now, God instructs Moses to make two silver trumpets. You ever seen a ram with a silver horn? Okay. Two silver trumpets and made of one piece. In other words, in today in the machinist world, we would call this forged rather than cast, okay, or stamped. So they're to be made of one piece. Now note this, they were used to call the Israelites to an assembly. In other words, when they wanted to call the congregation together, when I say the congregation, talking about the nation, they sound the silver trumpets. Okay? For assembling, and when they got ready to break camp, in other words, for the movement of the various camps that Israel had, then the trumpets were used to let the people know when each tribe was to move. Okay? The silver trumpets. The silver trumpets. So don't get hung up in some of this stuff that people are bringing and opening up their services and, you know, blowing a ram's horn and all that kind of stuff. I just don't want you to get hung up in it. I want you to know the truth. And let's follow the truth. Let's follow the truth as the scriptures have it laid out. Now, when we go into the next two verses, if you want to read 3 and 4.
And when they shall blow them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee.
So when they blew both of the silver trumpets, then the whole congregation, the Israelites, was to assemble at the entrance of the tabernacle courtyard. If they only blew one trumpet, then the leaders over thousands were to assemble there. And so this is their God's method of calling the people when he wants to instruct them. And you understand, I say God's method, not Moses. Mm-hmm. Because God told Moses to do this, and he told Moses what the purpose of these silver trumpets would be. All right, let's keep reading.
When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys.
Okay, so when they got ready to break camp and move out, the camps on the east side, remember, that's Judah. You can see it here. I may have you blocked out, but I think you can see it on that picture. So Judah and the other two tribes, they go with the first, when they first get the sound, okay? Mm-hmm. Then when the trumpet sounds again, the next tribes falls in line. Then the next tribe, you know, you follow how this is working. Okay, what is it? From the east side, then the south
then
side.
Then the south side.
And they're following in sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a divine order of God. It keeps people from walking on one another. In other words, you move in God's time. Now, I can say a lot about these trumpets because it there's so much embedded into this. You ever heard the phrase, set the trumpet to your mouth? What's he talking about? In other words, get the word of God out. Mm-hmm. But they're using that from a metaphorical sense, which it goes back to the trumpet. At Mount Sinai, or Horeb, when God spoke, what did they hear? The sound of a trumpet, right? The voice of God sounded as a trumpet. Well, what was the prophet? The prophet gave the word of God, it was like sounding a trumpet. It's sounding a warning. In other words, you pay attention to what's going on. Do you follow me? And so I want you to see this. So they, when the congregation's called, they use these silver trumpets. When they get ready to march, they use these silver trumpets because they are signaling when they're to move. Listen for the trumpet. Now that's metaphorically. In other words, listen for the instruction to go. The trumpet was just given an instruction. Okay? It's like, I don't know, for those who have been in the military, they still use the bugle. And if you ever heard them play tap, well, every morning, every evening, you get reveille, you get taps, you understand. What's that signal? It's time to get up, it's time to go to bed. What's it doing? That trumpet, if you will, is giving you instruction. And that's what these are doing here, okay?
But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm.
Now, you understand that when the Bible, what we have recorded in the Bible is not giving you every detail. It's assuming that you put the pieces of puzzle together, okay? And so he says when the congregation was to assemble, the trumpets were to sound, but not the advance. And so there's different sounds that were blown on the trumpet to go to war or bringing in a festival. And we'll see this a little later on. Assembling. And so the ones blowing the trumpets, which you'll find are the priests only, which is a message in and of itself, okay? The ones blowing the trumpet were to give a distinct sound so people would know what to do. Paul even referred to that in writings in the New Testament. If the trumpet doesn't give a clear sound, how will you know when to go into battle or whatever? You follow me? And so that trumpet is, to me, it's like speaking words. If you want people to understand what you say, speak so they can understand what you say. That trumpet had to be blown in a certain way so the people wouldn't have to guess. They would know what to do. Okay?
So in the last chapter, we read about the cloud and the fire. If the cloud moved, the people would move. If the fire moved, the people would move. So my understanding, when Moses saw that, when he saw the change, that was his signal. The people didn't automatically assemble and start packing up.
All right, priest, get your trumpets.
He told the people, he told the priests to blow the trumpet. So this is very orderly. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's following the cloud. But here again, note the trumpets are signaling each tribe. Mm-hmm. All right, the clouds move. All right, Judah, you go first. East side, south side. In other words, you do it in a systematic order, okay?
And in verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations.
So that means that no one could blow the trumpet but the representatives of God, the priest. Are you with me? That also means that Aaron's sons have to learn to blow the trumpet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to me, there is a tremendous message in this. The priest, God's representative, the ones who is representing God to the people, are the ones that give the instruction. I believe you could look at that as fivefold ministry. And when the fivefold ministry is given the instruction of God, and I emphasize of God, then that instruction is to be followed. You do things God's way. It's not the congregation saying, we want to move. It's God's representative saying, God says move. Mm. You understand? We're going to do it God's way. Now, here's what you find. It's theocracy in its true form. Theocracy is God ruling. You with me? And so when everything is done according to the man, the command of God or the mandate of God, then God is ruling. And if God is ruling, it is theocratic, not democratic, not dictatorial. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
It's God ruling. But how does God rule? God rules through people. Now, how did God rule the nation of Israel? Through Moses and Aaron. Moses being the civil leader, if we can say it that way, the president of the country. And then Aaron being the ecclesiastical, the high priest of the country. Okay? But it's God that's calling the shots, not man. Okay?
And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that opposes you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies.
We're still talking about these silver trumpets.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right, so when the Israelites went to war against the enemy who was oppressing them, then these priests were to sound the alarm with the trumpets. Note that, sound the alarm. Not call the assembly, sound the alarm. There's a time to call the assembly, there's a time to sound the alarm.
Mm.
You follow me?
Right.
Then when they heard the sound of the trumpet or the sound of the alarm, it says the Lord would remember. When they blew, the Lord would hear the sound of the trumpet. The Lord gave them the instruction of what to do. They're following what he said to do and says he would deliver them from their enemies. But what if you don't follow protocol? Then God's under no obligation. What was the purpose of sounding the trumpets? Showing God you're doing things God's way. You understand? Not assuming that you're just going to do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you follow the protocol of God. And a lot of people have the idea, well, because I'm a Christian, God owes me this. God owes you nothing. We owe him everything.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God.
So the silver trumpets were also used to announce the festivals of Israel. See, there were seven festivals that God ordained. These are seven holidays, if you will, that God had ordained for the nation of Israel. Three of these, the males were required to go to Jerusalem. Okay? This is God ruling the nation. And these silver trumpets announce, all right, this festival has arrived. And so, and then they sounded at the beginning of each month. It's a new month. Okay? So these trumpets are used a lot. Not just in going to war, or not just calling an assembly. They were to be blown over the burnt offerings. They were to be blown over the peace offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sound of these trumpets was serving as a reminder of the Lord our God. In other words, you sound it. In other words, we're going to get God's attention. When you do it God's way, you get God's attention. When you do it your way, you're going to hang yourself out to dry.
Mm.
And we've got to learn to follow the ways of God. We've got to learn theocracy in its true form. It's just simply God speaks and directs through his ordained or appointed leadership. You with me? In a local church, if it is a church that God has his name on, God appointed that, then God sets the leader over that church. God sets him, not the people. You don't need a search committee. You don't need a vote. What you need to do is step back, take your hands off of it, let God raise up or set the person that he wants, and then follow the leadership of God. And if you don't like it, then you make your complaint to God. But if God sets, then God's responsible for him, not you. Now, this is where denominations and all this, they get in there and they say, you're accountable to us. God's out of the scenario. And if you do something or you don't do something that they like or don't like, then you're accountable to them. And so it's man accountable to man. And we're missing something in this. We're to be, all of us are to be accountable to God. And especially the ordained leadership is accountable to God. And you get a revelation of this in the second, third chapters of the Revelation with the seven churches to Asia. In the first chapter, there toward the end of the chapter, when John sees this, he sees seven golden candlesticks. Well, he gets the interpretation of what this is. It's right there in your Bible. It's the seven churches in Asia Minor. Then he sees seven stars. You get the interpretation. The stars are those appointed over those churches. I'm sorry, the King James translated it angels. It should have been messenger. The messengers of those seven churches. What's the messenger? The messenger is the one that God sets over that church to give God's message. But how many people are giving God's message to the congregation? They're coming up with their own message. I had an email today telling me, resources for Thanksgiving messages. I don't need your resource. I have a source. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. What I mean is I have a responsibility of going to the source to get this message from the source, not from somebody else's opinion. And we've got to learn that, especially as leaders. We have to learn to do things God's way. Follow this theocratic government of God. And when God sounds the trumpet, you follow the sound of the trumpet, not the sound of the people. You understand that the church, the body of Christ, belongs to Jesus. It's not your church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. That means all the responsibility is off me for building a church. You understand? God did not call me to build a church. Jesus is building his church. What God called me to do is give instruction to the people on how, what he wants and how he wants to do it. Because he does speak to people, through people, if they're not in tune to the Spirit to where they can hear him for themselves. Are you with me? He's speaking through his son, but we have to pay attention. And there's so much violation to this. This is how I got in ministry. Not ever thinking about going into ministry, not wanting to go into ministry. But I was in church leadership at the time, and it was in a democratic rule, which is not God. And so people a rule in the church, and then you know what happens? People don't agree. And the leader was not selected by God. He was selected by the people, and then there's a rift between the people and the leader, and so they start fighting one another, and the pulpit's used as a battleground and all this type thing. And it was wearing me out. I just wanted to follow God. And then the people wanted me to side with them, and then the oversight wanted me to side with him, and I said, I'm not siding with anybody. I'm going to side with God. Then you're hated by all. You understand? And it got to the point one Sunday afternoon, it was so heavy on me that I was actually in tears. And I just finally said, Lord, I wouldn't do it that way. And I said, I'm at the point that I'd be like Isaiah, hear by sending me. And I had no idea that he was going to take me up on that. But I was sincere in it, okay? And then a few years later, here we are, you understand, with all that. But it was because theocracy is not being followed. And that bothered me. I want God to rule me. I've come to the point that I know that I am not intelligent enough to rule me, nor am I powerful enough to rule me. And I've never met a human being who was intelligent enough or who was powerful enough. You understand? We need God ruling our lives. It's easy to say Jesus is Lord. If you look at the word Lord, Greek kurios, is supreme in authority. And so people, you know, it became a fad just putting over Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Well, I know Jesus is Lord. Okay? But for me to just say Jesus is my Lord, is he my Lord? Am I saying it or am I living it? If he's my Lord, he's ruling me. I'm not telling him what to do, nor am I telling him what I want to do. If he is my Lord, I am listening to his instructions. This is a master-slave scenario. Do you understand? When you give your heart to the Lord, you're accepting Jesus and the purchase that he's made. That means you are bought by the blood of Jesus. If you are bought, then you're somebody else's property. And if Jesus Christ bought me, then he is my master, which would make me the slave. And the master has rule over the slave 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The slave doesn't tell the master what to do. He does what the master says. And we've got this all out of whack and trying to tell God what to do, and trying to run the church that we call God's church. And when you try to run it, then it drives him out. As a matter of fact, you look at Revelation there in the third chapter of the Laodicean church, he says he's outside. Mm-hmm. He's knocking, trying to get back in. Mm-hmm. I believe in America today, God is knocking, trying to get back in the church. To where men are not ruling, but where God's ruling. To where they actually hear the sound of the trumpet, if you will, and they resound what they've heard. We've got to give people the Word of God. But you can't give to them what you don't have. You understand? If you're going to give them a word from the Lord, you have to get the word from the Lord. Not come up with your own thing. We can call it a word of the Lord, but in reality it's a word of ourselves. You look at Jeremiah, all those prophets prophesying out of their own heart. God said, they're saying, God said, I didn't say anything. And I believe there's a lot of that going on today. People saying, God said, and God didn't say it. They just They imagined it. We ought to learn to listen to God. Now, you realize that Israel always had to be listening for the trumpets.
Right.
And if they didn't listen for the trumpets, they're not going to get the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with us. We have to... God's messages are not just for our entertainment. They're instruction. And so when God gives us a message, then God expects us to follow the instruction. You with me? Not just assent to it, but to implement it. James says if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, you're just deceiving yourself.
But you imagine what kind of chaos there would be in the camp here. If people heard that trumpet blow and said, oh, that's just
we've been seeing it in this nation.
Yeah.
They're not listening to the trumpet. They're not paying any attention. God's been warning this nation. You understand? God warns individuals. As a matter of fact, many years ago, in another setting, I was walking around the sanctuary praying, which I often did. I'd just be, sometimes I'd be laying in the floor, kneeling, whatever. A lot of times I'd walk around the sanctuary, and I'll still do that some. And I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll sing in the Spirit. You understand? Pray with my understanding. I sing with my understanding. And there's nobody there but God and me, so I'm not entertaining anybody, okay? And that particular day, I was walking around, and I was just singing in the Spirit. I didn't know what I was singing, but all of a sudden, I just started singing in English. And I still remember this so vivid. Watchmen, watchmen, lift up your eyes. Be alert, for the enemy's coming. Watchmen, watchmen, lift up your eyes. Be alert, sound the warning. The enemy's planning his attack, The enemy's planning his attack behind your back. The enemy's planning his attack, Be alert, sound the warning. Well, it scared me. You understand? I mean, it scared me. Because God doesn't lie. So I start calling out to the Lord, what do I do? What do I do? He said, what did I say? Your role is to sound the warning. You understand? He didn't tell me to fight the enemy for the people. He told me to tell the people that the enemy was planning an attack. Now it was going to directly affect me. And it did. You understand? They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. God spoke, but they didn't believe it was God talking. And that's the way so many people are today. Familiarity breeds contempt. People get so familiar with you, they don't think that's God talking. That's just you. And your family's the worst. You understand? Your family gets familiar with you. They know all your faults. They know all these things about you and all that. Well, who is he? God talking through him, you know. They don't pay any attention to it. And so when you get familiar with people, they can get to the point that they don't believe God speaking through you. Well, that's just his opinion. That's just this or that's just that. You know what you do? You shut the voice of God off to where you're not following the instruction of God. And the priests are playing those trumpets again. You think that ever crossed their mind? And a lot of people get tired of hearing the trumpet. You with me? Do you know what God told Ezekiel? He said, I set you as a watchman over the nation of Israel. When you see the enemy coming, sound the warning. If you don't sound the warning, the enemy will come and destroy the people. But I will require their blood at your hand. If you sound the warning and they don't pay attention, the enemy's coming. But their blood will be on their own head, not on yours. We are under obligation to blow the trumpets. You understand? If God set you over a people, then you are under obligation to tell them what God says, whether they like it or whether they don't. You don't want their blood on your hands. You with me? Our time's up here, so I'm going to have to stop.